Lord, in Psalm 100, you tell us to come into your presence with singing, to know that you are God, that it is you who made us, and that we are yours. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Tell us to give thanks to you because, the last verse of Psalm 100, because the Lord is good, and his steadfast love, his steady, faithful, loyal love endures forever, follows us forever, and your faithfulness endures to all generations, not just the past ones, not just our generation, but to all generations. You are faithful. Lord, it's to you we come. We open your word, God, believing that you have spoken and you have specifically orchestrated what's written in here. You have inspired it, that this is a message from God who made the universe. So we open your word with expectation. We ask you to teach us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? This morning we are in Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Acts is a book of the Bible towards the back. Several months ago we started in chapter 1, so we have made our way to chapter 21. There's 28 chapters, so we're getting there. The book of Acts is the true story of how God worked through those very first followers of Jesus. And as we've been following around these first followers of Jesus, we're learning lessons not just about how God worked then, but about how he still works today and how he wants to work today. So this morning, we're going to learn lessons about how we need to follow Jesus even when it's hard. Following Jesus even when it's hard. I don't know about you, but I much prefer easy. You know, I'm looking for the easy way to pick up my leaves in the fall. I've got a yard vacuum that sucks them up. Looking for the easy way to remove snow when it falls, like in February when it falls, and we need to shovel it, right, down the road. Looking for the easy way to pay bills. Maybe you're like me. You know, we like easy days better than hard days. I like easy weeks better than hard weeks. Jesus, actually, he promised in the Bible that if we come to him and if we follow him, that he uses this word picture. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's hopeful. We think, oh, if I go to Jesus, if I follow him, if I surrender to him, if I yield to him, it's going to be a lot easier than if I go it on my own. Because of the forgiveness we find, the peace, the hope, the help that we find in Jesus, it's easier. But there are times when following Jesus is hard. When he leads us and he tells us to do things that are hard. Andrew, I'm getting a little bit of an echo, maybe a little bit of feedback. And so the lessons we're going to see here in Acts 21 talk about following Jesus even when it's hard. So let's read. We're going to read chapter 21, verse 1. We're going to start with verse 1, read through verse 17. Now, to set this up a little bit, we've been following Paul on his mission trips. He's going all over the world telling people about Jesus. And so we pick it up at the end of his third missionary trip. Start with verse 1. And when we had parted from them, and set sail, we came to by a straight course to Kos, and then the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, the island, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they, the disciples there, were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. That's where Paul was heading. He was heading home to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and we went on our journey. So they didn't listen. Paul didn't listen. And they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. And then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven. We've seen him earlier in Acts. And we stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt. And they will deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles, the non-Jews." When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." After these days, we got ready and we went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. Verse 17, when we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. Following Jesus when it's hard. Following Jesus even when it's hard. There's two particular lessons that we learn from this passage. The first one is for us, like as individuals, as we follow Jesus, and it's reworded just a little bit. Here's number one: follow Jesus even when it's hard. You and I are called to follow Jesus even when it's hard. That's what Paul was doing here. That's what's happening in these verses. You see, it's pretty clear. Jerusalem's mentioned several times. Paul has his eyes set on Jerusalem. He's making a beeline for Jerusalem. I'm going to show you a map. We've seen some maps here throughout our journey in Acts. This is a map of his third trip that he makes. Now, I'll show you on this screen over here. This is what happens in these 17 verses. Paul starts here, and he is heading. You see, he's in the ocean, and he's on ships, and he's heading back to Jerusalem quickly. Now, he started on land, goes through here, goes all, you know, through what's called Macedonia, Achaia, but here he is going quickly back to Jerusalem. He's on a mission. He wants to get back there, and all these towns that are named, and you might thought, wow, there's a lot of places that he stops. Those are just stopovers. He's got his eyes fixed on Jerusalem. Why? Why is he doing that? There's two main reasons why he's going to Jerusalem. The first is that he's bringing financial aid to Christians in Jerusalem who are having financial problems. Some because of their faith, that they're impoverished. And so what Paul has done, in fact, that's why he does the loop he does here in this area, is he's going around to churches he's already been to that he helped plant. And he's going around and he's encouraging them to give money to help their brothers and sisters back in Jerusalem who are having a hard time. So that's part of the reason. He's bringing back this money that he has gathered from the other believers to bring back to Jerusalem, but he could have had his helpers bring it back. I mean, there was no Western Union or UPS or things like that, but he could have sent his helpers. He had quite a team. You see the words "we" in here. But see, it wasn't just because he needed to bring back the money. There was another reason that he was going to Jerusalem. And if you have your Bibles, Travis, thank you for putting that up. If you have your Bibles, you can just flip to the page before in chapter 20. We read this last week. In chapter 20 of Acts, in verse 22, we also get a little window into why Paul is going to Jerusalem. Paul says, "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit." Capital S, Spirit. It's talked about Holy Spirit. Constrained, he says, I'm being compelled by the Spirit. I know that the Lord wants me to go back to Jerusalem, not just to deliver this money, but to make him known there. He's got a plan. He continues in verse 22. He says, "I don't know what will happen to me there, except I know the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every other city that imprisonment, afflictions await me." So in chapter 20, he's, "I'm not quite sure what's going to happen there. I just know Jesus wants me to go to Jerusalem." What we see here is Paul following Jesus. He has a conviction that Jesus wants him to go there. And so he's going there. Now, the closer he gets to Jerusalem, the clearer it becomes what's going to happen when he gets there. The clearer it becomes it's going to be hard. Now, in chapter 21, the story slows down in a couple places. I mean, he's going from town to town like this on his journey, but when he gets to Tyre, in that first paragraph, you see things slow down, and we actually hear some conversations that happen there. The believers there in verse 4, it says, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. "Don't go to Jerusalem, Paul." Why? Well, look down. When he stops in Caesarea, it slows down there. We hear another conversation. And in verse 11, a prophet, verse 10, actually, a prophet comes down from the north, from Judea, Agabus. We've heard of him before in the book of Acts 2. He comes down, and he does kind of this physical illustration. He takes Paul's belt. He ties himself up, Agabus does, and he says, "This is what's going to happen to the man that owns this belt. Paul, you're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be handed over to the Gentiles." So it's pretty clear that it's going to be hard when Paul gets to Jerusalem. How does Paul respond? How does Paul respond? Look at chapter 13. Paul answered, "What are you doing weeping and breaking my heart?" They were saying, "Don't go, Paul, don't go." He says, "What are you doing?" Look at, "For I am ready, not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." He's getting intel from the Lord through his people that it's going to be hard, and Paul says, "I'm ready. I'm going to follow Jesus because I know he wants me to go there. I'm going to follow him even though it's going to be hard." Now, there's a lesson for us. It's a lesson for me. It's a lesson for you as we follow Jesus, because sometimes it's tempting as we follow Jesus to think that if something is going to be hard, then that's not what Jesus wants us to do. I mean, Jesus said, right? We talked about it at the beginning, that Matthew 12, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." And so we hear that and we might think, well, then that means that following Jesus will always be easy. People will always like me. That I will never kind of have to take a deep breath and walk forward and maybe even have a little trembling about what's going to happen next. That if it's going to be hard, that Jesus doesn't want me to do it. But see, what we see from Paul here is that sometimes Jesus wants us to do things even though they're hard. Now, we have to be clear here Because one mistake we can make that sometimes people can make, it's maybe not one we make often, but a mistake that can be made is to think, well, okay, I get it. So whatever's hard, whatever maybe I don't want to do, that's exactly what Jesus wants me to do. So how do you know what Jesus wants you to do? Well, just look around and see what the hardest thing is to do, and that's what he wants you to do. Jesus just wants us to do hard things. See, that's not the message. When I was in my early 20s, that was a bit of my mindset, that the harder something was, the more spiritual it was. That the less I had, that the thing that would pay the least or would cause me to have the least material things, that was more spiritually, and that's exactly what Jesus wanted me to do. Now, I will confess to you that in my 50s, I have the opposite temptation. Just for whatever reason, there can be a temptation for me, maybe for you, to want to be comfortable and to sometimes see things or read things and think, ooh, that looks hard. I don't think Jesus wants me to do that. I think Jesus wants me to be comfortable. I think Jesus wants it to be easy. It can be a temptation for us, maybe even if you're not in your 50s. And so the lesson for us is that Jesus sometimes calls us to do things that are hard. He's with us. He helps us. He strengthens us. But like Paul, he may lead us into situations where there's pushback, where it's difficult. Let me ask you a question. Is there a choice? Is there a direction that Jesus wants you to go? Is there a way that he wants you to serve that you know is going to be hard? Is there something right now that comes to your mind that maybe you've been thinking about, that you've come across as you've read the Bible, and right now you really have a sense, maybe like Paul, you feel constrained by the Spirit that's the way that God is pointing you to go or what he's pointing you to do, but it's hard. It may be that Jesus is calling you to follow him even though it's hard. Now, in a room with all of as many people as we have, there could be 200 plus different ways that Jesus may be leading us and specific applications to that. But let me just throw out a few. Maybe this morning it's a choice that you know is going to be hard. Maybe for you, it's choosing for the first time to surrender completely to Jesus. To go to him for forgiveness. To say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to run my own life. I surrender to you. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to receive your forgiveness and surrender to you. And you know that there may be ramifications, maybe through family, maybe through friends, others that will look on because of religious backgrounds or non-religious backgrounds, and you may get some pushback for following Jesus. Maybe it's making the choice to follow Jesus and be baptized. Maybe you have surrendered to Jesus and trusted in him, but it's saying, Jesus, I'll follow you and be baptized. But even as we think about that now, you think, oh man, to get up front and have people see that, me put under the water and to share my story or have someone share my story of what Jesus has done, that just seems really hard. Maybe it's a choice, a direction to say something or to stand for something, to do something that you know is going to be hard for you, and that others may not particularly appreciate certain others in your life, but you know that Jesus is leading you that direction. Maybe it's an area to serve others. You know, it might be hard, sacrifice of time. It might be uncomfortable. You're not sure you can really do that very well, but you sense that the Lord may be nudging you to serve, maybe not just even here in the church family in a way, with children or another ministry, but maybe even a particular person or in an area outside of the family of open arms. Here's the truth. That sometimes Jesus calls us to follow him in ways that are hard. And he's with us, and he's telling us to get on the boat and set sail and head towards what he's calling us to do. Sometimes the reason it's hard to do that is because there's people around us telling us not to do it, or giving us reasons why we shouldn't do that, urging us not to. Sometimes it's not just people that don't believe in Jesus. Sometimes it's people who do believe in Jesus that mean well, but they're urging us a different direction than what we sense the Lord is leading us to do. That's what happens here in chapter 21, and that's really our lesson two. This is a lesson for us as we walk with others. Here's number two. Let others follow Jesus, even when it's hard. Sometimes it's hard not just for us to follow Jesus in ways that are hard, but sometimes it's hard for us to watch other people follow Jesus in ways that are hard. Now, the disciples, the Christians, the followers of Jesus that Paul encounters along the way, they end up in the right place at the end of this story, but that's not where they start. Did you see what happens in Tyre in verse 4 again? They're telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Now, I don't know. Paul is, you know, he's an apostle. He's pretty focused. He's a type A guy. He's mission driven. It seems pretty bold to tell him what he should be doing. But they tell him not to go. And it says here, did you see verse 4? Through the Spirit, again, capital S, through the Holy Spirit, they're telling him not to go. What is going on here? This is very confusing, maybe. Because the chapter before, it says the Spirit was constraining Paul to go, and now here is the Spirit telling believers to tell Paul not to go? Is this a mixed message? What's going on? We get some clarity here as we go down to Caesarea, this other long pit stop. Look at verse 11. Again, the prophet comes down, and look what he says. Thus says the Holy Spirit. So he said, the Holy Spirit has told me to tell you, a lot like the Old Testament prophets. This is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Hard stop. Do you see what the prophet says there? He doesn't tell Paul whether to go or not. He just tells Paul what's gonna happen. What was happening here is the Spirit was giving Paul a heads up and the other believers, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard, you're gonna be imprisoned. The prophet doesn't tell Paul what to do with the information, he just gives Paul the information. But what happens, you see what happens in verse 12, those who hear it, verse 12, when we heard this, we, Paul's own team, Luke, who wrote this book, he says we, and the people there urged him not to go. See, here's what's happening. They're hearing what the Spirit's saying, giving him a heads up, it's going to be hard there. And what they do, they take it to the next step. Their instincts are, whoa, that sounds hard, Paul. No, Paul, we're going to tell you what to do with that information. Don't go. Because Jesus wouldn't want you to go. They don't say this, but Jesus wouldn't want you to go and be arrested. Jesus wouldn't want you to go and be handcuffed. Don't go, Paul. We know how to interpret this information. We know what you should do. The problem is they're telling Paul to do something different with that information than Jesus is telling Paul to do with that information. And though they mean well, they're not encouraging Paul to follow Jesus. They're doing the opposite. And we can understand why. I mean, you think about this. This passage oozes of love between Christians. I mean, he stays at Tyre, and then when he leaves, do you see that the whole town, not the whole town, but all of the Christians follow him. They kneel on the beach. I read one pastor who said, you know, you wonder what some of those prayers might have been. Have you ever heard those kind of those not those kind of like maybe sideways prayers, like, oh, Lord, we pray for Paul. He wouldn't listen to us. He's going to Jerusalem anyway. We don't think it's smart, Lord, but please protect him. You know, I don't know if those were some of the prayers on the beach, but what we do know is that they loved him. In Caesarea, Paul says, stop weeping. Stop crying. You're breaking my heart. There's this deep love for Paul. They love him. They don't want Paul to face hard things. Who wants loved ones to go through hard things? We don't wish that on anybody, do we? We can understand why they would urge him not to go to Jerusalem. And there's a lesson for us. We need to be careful. We need to be careful as we walk with one another that our love for one another and our care for one another doesn't cause us to indirectly discourage one another from following Jesus. As we give advice to one another, as we walk with one another, we have to be careful not to give advice based on, oh, that would be hard for you. I'd hate for you to see you go through that. I'd hate for you to have a hard time as you move forward. I'm not sure that's what Jesus wants you to do. We might mean well, and it might come from a place of love, but sometimes it might go directly against what Jesus has told us to do in his word. And so as we walk with one another, it's not like we just keep telling each other, hey, do hard things, do hard things, do hard things. But what we need to do is encourage each other to follow Jesus, even when it's hard. And then make sure that we're pointing one another to the path that Jesus has laid out before us in his word, not a path that will just help us avoid discomfort. I think there probably was another thing going on here. They didn't want to lose Paul. They didn't want to lose Paul. They didn't want to never see Paul again. In fact, in the chapter before last week, we read that Paul said to them he was never going to see them again. That was the believers further north up in Ephesus. And they wept when they heard that. They loved Paul. Paul planted the church there where he was. He knew these believers that he was seeing. They didn't want to lose him. Paul was an apostle. Paul was writing letters that were being passed around everywhere. Paul was an encouragement. Paul was an inspiration for following Jesus. And the thought of not seeing Paul again, the thought of something happening to Paul and him not being on the earth anymore, it was more than they could bear. That might have been what was driving some of their telling Paul not to go. Paul, we don't want to lose you. You know, an analogy to this, something maybe comparable, is like this military effect sometimes that we have. You know, we have Memorial Day, we have Veterans Day, we see veterans wearing hats in stores, and we say, thank you for your service, and we support the troops, and then a son or a daughter or a loved one wants to join the military. And then we take a gulp. And we say, oh, I know that the big picture of our armed forces, the same could be true of law enforcement, that we know that it's needed, that it's noble, and we are so thankful for those who serve in those ways. And yet when it comes to our own sons and daughters and spouses and loved ones, we think, oh, and we might urge them not to do it. We might even tell them not to do it. Sometimes when it comes that close, it's harder because we don't want to lose somebody. Because, you know, if they join the military, they're going to move away. If they're in the military or law enforcement, they're in harm's way. We don't want something to happen. May have been some of what's going on here. And sometimes that's what goes on in our hearts. Not just with military or law enforcement, but sometimes with following Jesus. Those we walk with, those we love, as they follow Jesus, Jesus may lead them and call them to do things that are hard. And we think, oof, I agree theoretically that should be what people do to follow Jesus, but I don't know if I want you to do that. Because and not just you might be sacrificing something, I might be sacrificing something. See, listen, a word to moms and dads. Let me just say this word to moms and dads, and maybe someday you will be a mom or dad. Tuck this away. Be careful that you don't urge your children not to do what Jesus may be leading them to do. We want to, we should raise our children to follow Jesus, to believe in Jesus. And sometimes our children may want to do things that pay less money than maybe we had in mind for their ideal career. Or to take a job in another town that's maybe far away, out of state. That maybe the Lord will lead our adult children, our kids when they grow up, to serve the Lord in a way that takes them far away. Or to do hard things. And we have to be careful as moms and dads not to discourage them from doing that just because it costs us something, or we won't see them as much, or it doesn't fit our picture of what they would be. To let others follow Jesus. And listen, I think I may have worded that too softly, number two. Don't just let them, encourage them to follow Jesus, even when it's hard. I got on an airplane 28 years ago and flew to New York and told my parents I would be here for 2 years. Been here for 28 years. To my parents, I know that was hard for my parents. But to my parents' credit, they didn't tell me not to do it. And as moms and dads, let's encourage our children to follow Jesus, even when it's hard on them and hard on us. Open arms, let's back up a little bit. Open arms, including moms and dads, but including everybody. Open arms. There has been seasons where those who have been part of our church family for years, that we have loved, that Jesus has reassigned them to other areas. He has relocated them. He has sent them out to other states because of jobs, sometimes because of ministries. And that has been hard to say goodbye. They're not dead, but they're not around. They might visit, but it's hard. And we are in a season as we plant a church where there may be situations like that, relationships where the Lord is leading some of us to be part of Fireside Saturday Night Church. And it might be hard. Again, we will still live in the same areas, even when Fireside is across the river in months to come when the Lord shows a place where the church can meet in Glenville, Burnt Hills area. That's not that far away from here, but we won't see them as much. And that might be hard, particularly if there's people that we're really close to and we end up in on different days of worship and different places of worship. The encouragement is to let one another follow Jesus, even when it's hard, to encourage one another to follow Jesus, even when it's hard. Love this line at the end of 14, such a lesson for us. Verse 14, Luke tells us, Luke wrote this, Luke's on the team, he's an eyewitness of this encounter, and it says, verse 14, and since we could, he would not be persuaded, we ceased. We stopped telling him what to do, and we said, let the will of the Lord be done. Such a great statement. Such a great place to be. Lord, we trust you. We trust you. Let the will of the Lord be done, however you're leading us. There's one more question that's kind of on the table here, and maybe the elephant in the room. Why would Jesus ask us to do hard things? Why would Jesus want us to do hard things? There's a couple answers. I don't know if they're answers necessarily, but helps. One is that the Jesus we follow did hard things for us. Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he hasn't done. He is our example. In fact, we see that it's embedded in this story. Luke wrote Acts. Luke wrote the book of Luke. Surprise. And the book of Luke tells the story of Jesus. And what happens with Jesus is exactly what happens with Paul here. Jesus sets his sights on Jerusalem, and he's beelining it to Jerusalem. There's so many similarities. He's going to Jerusalem, and the disciples around him don't think that's a good idea. And they keep telling him pretty directly, let's not go there. There's bad things coming. He's going to Jerusalem. He knows that he's going to be arrested and bound. He knows that he's going to be handed over to the Gentiles, just like Paul. The night before Jesus is crucified, he's in the garden, and he says something very similar. He says, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." It's no accident that Luke is pointing out and writing this in a way that shows us that what Paul's doing is exactly what Jesus was doing. Heading to Jerusalem, even though he knew it was going to be hard. See, Jesus, as we follow Jesus, we might not end up in Jerusalem. But as we follow Jesus, we're going to follow his path. And the path that he took included some hard things that he did for us. Jesus isn't asking us to do anything that he hasn't done. And as we follow Jesus, we're going to follow the path that he took in ways that are going to be hard. But there's a second reason that we can follow Jesus even when it's hard. And it's because Jesus is not just our example, but he's our help. He's our help. Here's what happens. Jesus doesn't step back and say, "Hey, there's something hard. Go do that, and I'll watch you." That's not what he does. First of all, he's taken the lead. He's gone before us. But he says, "I'm going to be with you. And because I did a hard thing by going to Jerusalem, being arrested, being killed on a cross, not because of the wrong that I've done," Jesus says, "but because of the wrong you have done, I did that for you, so that you could be forgiven, so that I could be with you. I would clean you on the inside, and I would come inside of you with my Holy Spirit to help you, to strengthen you, to change you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way." That's what Jesus says. I'm going to be your help. When he calls us to do hard things, you know what the best thing is? That he's with us to help us. That's the best part of following Jesus, is that we get to be with Jesus. When you follow him, you're with him. He's with you. He's with me. He helps us. Whether it's easy or hard, he's with us. And his presence is what gives us strength. His presence is what gives us courage. His presence and his help inside of us is what helps us to say what Paul said, "I'm ready. I'm ready." Paul wasn't a super Christian. He just had a super good, super strong God. He just had a Jesus who went to the cross, did what was hard so that he could be forgiven. And we have the same God who's super good, who's super strong, who has gone to the cross for us to make a way for us to be right with God, and then to turn to make that known to others, even when it's hard. And so we get to follow Jesus, and we get to be with Jesus, and we have his strength. And then he puts us in community, in a family, where we get to help encourage, not just let, but encourage one another to follow Jesus, because he is good. And he has gone to the cross for us. We know he loves us. We don't have to question when he leads us into difficult things whether he loves us, because we can look back at what he did for us, the difficult thing that he did for us on the cross, and we can know he loves us. The Jesus who did what was hard for us calls us to follow him, even when it's hard. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you sometimes for a good man, someone might be willing to give their life. But Jesus, you were willing to go to Jerusalem, to be arrested, to be nailed to a cross, to give your life for us, even though we weren't good. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you and to follow you wherever you lead us through your word. Lead us as we stay close to you. Help us to keep our eyes on you as we follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.